And it starts to get a bit quicker. And there comes this big hill, and I thought, do you know what? I've got this. And as I approach it, it becomes clear that there's quite a big jump at the end of it. So I've gone past the point of no return. I'm doing it. But because I'm not really a cyclist or really know how to BMX, there's this moment where I'm going through the hill and I go over my handlebars. And for a split second, I'm like, Jesus, you know I'm preaching tomorrow. If you could help me here, I'd be really grateful. And praise God, I'm here. My body aches, but I wasn't up at A&E, so that's good. Listen, I want to firstly say a very warm welcome to you this morning. It's always a privilege to be able to bring the Word of God. And we are concluding the theme of battles. Now, we have had an incredible series of battles. We have been talking about having peace in the storms. We had Lindsay a couple of weeks ago talk a beautiful message on putting on our armour of God and being ready for battle. We've spoken about how to protect our hearts and our minds during battle. So when it came to me thinking about what I'm going to preach about, I was like, God, a load of great stuff's been said. Like, what can I bring to conclude this theme? And all of last week, I was sat as Nigel was preaching. I was like, God, please don't let him bring what I'm going to bring. But I really felt God clearly give me something to share this morning that I hope imparts us, encourages us as we face our battles. And I want to say from the start that we all know that none of us are exempt from battles. We all know that we face battles. But I want to say in our battles, time and time again, I see vulnerable people do incredible things because we serve an almighty God. And that gives me hope when I'm in my battles and I feel hopeless and I feel I don't know how to get through this battle, that there is a good God who is before, with me, with you, and to help us through these times. But the thing that really inspired me and encouraged me is, to my right, we have a prayer board. Now, you'll see that there's no prayer requests or praise reports. It's because I've nabbed them. I've got them all here. And I want to share with you some of these prayer requests because, again, it highlights that there's people in this room who are going through very real battles. Whether they're small battles, big battles, they're battles that we're walking through. So one of the prayer requests was, God, I pray that my marriage would be restored. God, I ask you to pray for my son and his partner as they go through their split. May it be amicable and that the baby would be protected. God, I pray that the results of the mammogram will come back clear, that the mole will not be cancerous. There is prayer requests around financial provision. There is prayer requests around mental health. 1 in 4 people will be affected by mental health. There is prayer requests for our children. These are very real battles that people are walking through. And as I'm reading those prayer requests, I'm drawn to the praise reports and find my soul lifted because God is a hearer of our prayers. And how he chooses to answer our prayers is his business. He knows how to do that. But I find encouragement and hope that the Father hears our prayers. So let me just share with you some of these praise reports because they are very uplifting. Praise God and thank you so much that my daughter is well again. After months of illness and despite all the illness, she has managed to complete her degree. Thank you, Jesus, and praise you, Lord. I love this one. God restored a friendship after 4 years of praying. When I thought there was no way to repair the friendship yesterday, the person messaged me. God restored something that looked impossible. I am deeply thankful that I have a great job for the next 18 months and for God's unfailing support and the encouragement to his people. I'm so thankful for my house and all that he's provided. God, I thank you for good health, joy, and happiness. And again, another one for a new home here. God is a God who answers prayers in the midst of battles. And my prayer is that those prayer requests that we've just spoken about would become praise reports that we can glorify God and stand together with. And If you are facing a battle this morning, big, small, it's still a battle. And my prayer is this morning, as we go through this preaching, what I want to bring this morning is that you would leave here with a strategy, an idea of how to fight those battles. One of the things I was drawn to as I was preparing this message is something called the counterattack. Now, I work at Southend United once a week. I go down and I watch them on the training field, and they spend hours working on different tactics. I also spent time this week speaking to Phil Harding, who is a history buff. If you need someone for a pub quiz, Phil Harding is your man, because I wanted to know what military battles did the counterattack prove to bring victory into a battle. But whilst I was looking at the Southend players training, I was talking to them about a counterattack and what does a counterattack look like. The thing about a counterattack in football is that you prepare yourself to be attacked. You defend deep, but you know that you're going to face attack after attack after attack. You spend hours on the training ground preparing for a counterattack. You need to know positionally where you need to be. It takes hours of practice. You need to communicate. And for the average person watching, it looks like that you don't know how to deal with this attack. But there comes a moment in the counterattack where either the manager or the captain will tell the lads that now is the time to attack. And they attack with precision. They attack with speed. And if they pull the counterattack off, it leads to devastating consequences for the team that have been attacking. They become deflated, it changes the game, and what was once a counterattack now becomes a full-out attack onto the enemy. This morning, I want us to be people that know how to counterattack. When I was preparing this message, I had a picture of us, and some of us were in a boxing ring. And some of us were on our knees, some of us were on the ropes, and some of us felt that it was only going to take one more knockout blow to take us out. Do you know what? Our fight back starts today. Our fight back starts today. We are not going to have an enemy try and take us out. We know very clearly the plans of the enemy. John 10:10 makes that crystal clear. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is his manifesto. But we have a Jesus that is bigger than any of that. We have a Jesus that is for us, a Jesus that will fight our battles. And however that looks, I find great hope and comfort that in the midst of my battles, there is somewhere where I can go and lay my heart to Jesus and know that with him, yes, my battle might rage, but when my eyes are focused on Jesus, I find peace, I find hope and trust in Jesus. I've completely gone off my notes, but that's cool. I love Jesus. I'm in awe of Jesus. Like, he was 100% God, I know that, but I love the 100% man that he was. I go through scripture and I wonder, what would have it been like walking through the crowds, knowing that, walking amongst the people and people receiving their healing from him, Jesus having conversations with people, like, what would have it been like to have been in his presence? And he brought breakthrough to so many people. But the thing that I truly, truly love is that Jesus, when he faced battles, he didn't cop out. He didn't take the easy way out. It says in scripture that when he's in Gethsemane, that he could have called on his angels and they would have protected him. But in the face of battle, Jesus took it face on. There have been so many times in my life when a battle has come upon me where I've bottled it, or I've looked to do a runner, or put my head in the sand, or I've looked for any way out. I remember when I was in year 11, I really couldn't stand maths at school. It was the one subject that I couldn't stand. And I didn't bother to turn up for my exam in year 11. And I don't know if my parents know that, but they're sitting here. I had no interest at all, so I didn't bother to take it. I was scared of failure, so I just didn't bother turning up. So often the battles that face us will make us want to shrink back, make us want to fall by the wayside. But I take great hope in Jesus, because even though he could have called down help and he could have been protected, he didn't. And he endured the cross and he took it all upon himself. And I find comfort in that, because it says to me that when I'm going through my troubles, Jesus knows what it's like to face trouble. Jesus knows what it feels like to be mocked and abused, to be goaded, to be physically beaten and attacked. Like, these are the sort of things I'd do a runner in. But Jesus, he endured it for me, so that when I'm facing my battles, he relates to it. And so often my prayers are, God, would you airlift me out of this situation? Jesus parachutes in. And I find comfort that when I go into my battles, whatever they may be, and I feel in the trenches and I feel that I don't know how to get my head above the trench, that I only need to turn to my side and Jesus is in the trench with me. He's slap bang in the middle of the battle with us. So as I was preparing this talk this morning, I wanted to think of what are some of the keys that we can use that would be a sucker punch to the enemy, where the enemy thinks that he's in control, he's winning, we're deflated, he thinks that he's got this. How do we start our fight back? How do we let the devil know, not today? Not today, because we have a Savior who is with us and for us. So I'm going to share with you three things into how we can counterattack the works of the enemy. Number one, Jesus is worthy of all worship. We worship him. We worship him with all that we have. I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, Em had a miscarriage. So we spent Em spent 3 days in hospital. And I remember coming to church on the Sunday. And the truth is, I couldn't get any words out. Like, sometimes in my head, I thought worship is when you lift your voices and there is this roar. But I couldn't get anything out. But I think worship is also a heart thing. There have been the last couple of weeks where I have stood in my seat and I've just stopped, because there is this roar from this building that is exalting and lifting the name of Jesus. It's this most powerful, and it's beautiful giving Jesus all the praise. Like, he is worthy. But there are times when in our hearts, you know, I can't get the words out because this battle is so overwhelming. It's so hard to deal with. Yet, when we're in our battle, we choose to worship, whether that's loud, and which is great, or whether it's just in our hearts through tears, through, you know, soft voices. It's choosing to say, Jesus, listen, I'm worshiping you, yes, with a loud voice, but if not, my heart is wanting to connect with you. There is something about our worship that the enemy hates. He is a fallen angel. He is a fallen worship leader. He knows what worship, how beautiful worship can be, before his pride kicked in. There is a couple of verses I'd like to share with you that have really encouraged me. Psalm 8:2 says, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Satan hates to hear God glorified. And when I look at our young people in here this morning, and listen, these kids are going to change the world. 100% they are. There is plans and purposes, and from their lips, whether they're going into school in a couple of weeks' time, whatever that looks like, they have the power to not just bring the presence of Jesus, but silence the works of the enemy. There's Psalm 56. And I love reading about David, because the Psalms is just all over the place. There's joy, there's sorrow, there's lamenting, there's breakthrough, there's victories. It's all over the shop. But in all of his victories, David, he worships God. In Psalm 56, he's caught by the Philistines. He's in a place called Gath. And it's not looking good for David. His enemies have surrounded him, captured him. Yet, in what's a really bad situation, there is praise that is given to God. There is praise that brings his breakthrough. And I want to be someone that when stuff gets tough, I don't stop worshiping. Even when all around me is not looking great, I want to choose to worship because God is a good God. The enemy will be the one that's trying to ask all of these questions. Should, could, would God do this, do that? I never want to be someone that questions the goodness of God. He is good. That is who he is. But the enemy's real. But I'm going to worship God in all seasons. And I think that is one of the keys that we can beat the enemy, is worship in all seasons, at all times, whether that's loud, whether that's silent, whatever that looks like to you at this moment in time. Don't stop worshiping the Father. He is a good God. I've just got this sentence here. It's a song that was done by Beth, I think. But it's basically, the lyric is, "You drown my fears in perfect love." I love that. Like, worship is a place where we can give everything to God. Everything, can know that we will never be cast aside by God, but that we are embraced and loved by a good God. So we worship. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Number two, truth. The enemy is the father of lies. But Jesus comes and brings truth. There is freedom in truth. Satan hates scripture because it exposes his lies. It exposes him. It exposes the fact that he is a defeated foe. The battle is the Lord's. The victory is his. And we are on his team. We are victorious because Jesus first was victorious on the cross for us. We see this as well when Jesus is in the wilderness and Satan comes and tempts him. Three times the enemy comes. And I love that when there's an accusation thrown at Jesus, or there is this offer made to Jesus, straight away Jesus gives a truth bomb back to Satan. And what I've noticed is that there is this accusation, there is truth, and then there's nothing from the enemy. The truth overcomes the accusation and lie that the enemy would want to feed us. Jesus overcame Satan in the wilderness because, firstly, he knew who he was, but with truth and authority. And I find it interesting that so often the enemy would want us to be in the wilderness, wouldn't he? He'd want to kind of pick us off from the crowd or isolate us. So if we're feeling isolated and we're feeling all alone, we've still got absolute truth and authority over the enemy when he would want to throw his lies at us. The truth will set us free. What truths do you need to remind yourself of this morning? What's the enemy knocking at you or trying to pull at you or bring at you? What truths can you remind him today? Well, firstly, you can tell him that you're loved. You're loved by an almighty God. That there are plans and purposes over you. That, you know what, each one of us, I don't say it flippantly, we're called to greatness. We're called to build the kingdom. We're called to advance the kingdom. We're called to knock back the works of the enemy. There are so many truths in the Bible that we can declare over ourselves because the truth will set us free from the works of the enemy. So we worship. We worship with all that we have. We declare the truth because the enemy hates truth. And number three, we love with all we've got. One of the things that always grabs me about Jesus is not only the journey that he endured for me, but the fact that when he was pinned on a cross and there was still mockery going on, he still chose to extend love to the thief next to him. Even at the height of his battle, at the most pain that he would have been in, he still chose to love that person You know, when, and the thief, he gets it. He's like, do you know what? I shouldn't be with you today. No, he doesn't. Sorry. He says, remember me. Remember me. And yet Jesus says, hey, today you're joining me. Today you're with me. Like in this moment of pain, there is this person who is on the cross who should be me, is given this invitation because of what Jesus did. Like love can't function in hell, but it can function here. And even whilst we're in the midst of our battles, whatever they may be, then we can love. I don't want to be someone that becomes bitter in the face of whatever battles it may be. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be twisted. I want to have the capacity to love. Jesus just amazes me, you know. I feel with this preach, it's it might feel a bit simple, but I'm cool with simple. But I want to love Jesus in all things, whatever I may be facing. And I know that there are people in this room who have faced battles where maybe it feels like you're not going to see the victory until the other side of eternity. And that's tough. You know, I know that's tough. But I still want to show Jesus in all situations. And I know that whatever we're facing, Jesus isn't absent, he isn't distant. Like I said earlier, he's fully present, parachuting in amongst us. If you're going through a battle this morning, would you be brave enough to stand? I don't want to, you don't have to share anything, but I want to, as a church, I want us to stand together in this. And I want us to pray. And I want us to declare truth. And I want these requests that we're making before God to turn into praise reports where we can celebrate and give glory to God. But we talk as well as a church family, don't we? We want to be family. And we want to surround each other with prayer in the face of our battles. You're not alone. We're a family. God, I want to lift every single person in this room to you. God, you know the battles that everyone in this room is facing. God, you're a good God. And Lord, we declare this morning that whatever people are facing, would you be fully present? Emmanuel, God with us. God, I pray that you would give us whatever it is we need to face these storms. Lord, whether it's to just be, I don't know. Lord, whether there's Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray right now that whatever people are facing, they would know that you're close. Lord, we declare that you are good, that you are love, that you are for us. Jesus, where the enemy would want to come in like a flood, I pray that in these battles we would know that you have won the battle. God, I pray that these battles would turn into praise reports, testimonies. And God, we stand together as a family. And pray right now for these breakthroughs. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Please be seated. I saw this cool quote that I quite like this week. It says, hope begins in the dark, the stubborn hope that if you just show up and try and do the right thing, the dawn will come. You wait and watch and work, but you don't give up. Jesus is fully present. May you know the battle is the Lord's. I pray that you would know that he is closer than a brother. I pray that as you worship throughout this week, as you declare truth throughout this week, and as you love with all you have this week, that you will conquer your battles. That you will defeat the plans that the enemy has put before you. And that you would know just how loved and how precious we are. Amen. Amen. Twenty past 11. What I would love to do is finish with a worship song, if the musicians would be kind enough to come back. Because some of these, like worship this morning, I just loved it. Like Cornerstone, You Reign Forever. Could we go for You Reign Forever, Rach? Thank you. And as we're worshiping,